Shlomo Rice right, bought.
Nice to be back, yeah. Where everyone else is, where's everyone else? Not everyone's bought, so nice to be back. All right, so let's just quickly make a summary of what we did last time. We finished off reading from the Abbeys. That was the halachas of sorting food items. And we went through various heterim in Hilchos Ma'abit. That's my notes here. Yeah, here we are. And we said basically this is the Erech Shabbos as well. The Erech Shabbos, let's get the Erech Shabbos open here. Erech Shabbos. Basically, sorting food should be problematic on Shabbos, but we said there's a few heterim. One is if the whole issa is only to put it on vegetables which are normally sorted. Things that are not normally sorted, there's no problem with. So that's what he said. If it's a derech to do it, then one should not put any salt on such things. That's the problem. But, first of all, hetz number one, if a person puts salt on one piece of vegetable, so that's not normal derech. No normal person who wants to sort something doesn't normally sort things in one item at a time. It's not normal. You can put it on a radish or a cucumber. What the shear of man kotz is hard to know, but it has to be eaten more or less straight away. So a person can put salt on a bit of cucumber, on these things at all, even though it's something which is derech likwesh, but since you're eating it straight away and you're doing one at a time, then there's no problem of kvisha.
One time you've got a portion of plate, 3 or 4
things, no, you should do one at a time, I think.
One time.
Yeah, no, one at a time is you should do 3 or 4 together. So each piece by itself, each piece before you eat it. Each piece before you eat it. Clear. Then we spoke about things which are not a derech to be kovish, things which are not normal to pickle. For example, a piece of tomato. It's not normally to sort tomatoes, and therefore there's no issa in doing that. And then we said in the salad of Yerokas also, where if it's not, the majority of the ingredients are not sortable, then there's no problem at all. And also eggs, cooked meat, cooked eggs, they're normal. There's no problem with sorting it. It's not normal to be clavish, thing like that, and therefore that is mutter to do. That's what we spoke about last time. Okay, that's more or less the malacha of Ma'abit. Now we're coming. Sorry?
Normally is the cancer island or just the individual?
No, normally it's the world sort, the world pickles it. Normally most people don't pickle eggs and meat, cooked meat, maybe raw meat they do, but not cooked meat. And therefore that's not a problem. The next malacha, very interesting malacha, you think, where is it relevant to? It's sort of Masaltate. Masaltate is one of the malachas in the Lamates malachas. And there, what's the malacha there? Let's read out. The Mishnah Berurah says here in Shem Mem, Sivkot Chav Beis. We've got back Dom over here. It's linked up a little bit to do with Kosev, really. That's normally how it was to do. You know, you think, who does Masaltate now? Where is it relevant, Masaltate? So the Mishnah Berurah brings over here, he's got a little like Dom. Masaltate is ingraining a line, making I don't know how to translate it in English exactly. I don't know what you call it. The indentation, I suppose. An indentation
into
the.
Where did
they do it in the Mishkan? Actually, I think I wrote it down actually, yeah. They did it on the skin before they cut it. Wow. In order to know how. I went not so long ago actually to the Batimacher.
Batimacher.
So he shows you, he's got one there, and it's a bit gruesome, but nicely you see the head of the calf there, wherever it is, and there they're lines. They make lines in the leather that when they cut it exact. That's Masaltate. You're ingraining into the leather, you make a line in order to know where to cut.
That's
cut straight. It's a line, it's like a guiding line. That's what a guiding line. Masaltate's like a guiding line. It's a line which is meant for guiding. Says the Mishnah Berurah over here in Chav Beis. Someone makes a guiding line in paper or parchment, because he wants to write on a straight line. So in order to make it a straight line, he makes this line on the parchment in order to make write on that line, to use it, either as the roof or as the bottom. Yeah, he's going to write on top of that line. So it's a guiding line. In order you know how to cut it, either have to write it or you know how to cut. That's all included in Masaltate. So either you're doing this line in order to be able to write on the line, or you're making the line in order that when you want to cut later, you'll be able to you cut it exactly on the line. You know, much like these carpenters or whatever, when they want to cut wood. I mean, the mice often use a pencil, that's not ingrained into the thing, but we're talking about, mice is also Masaltate, I suppose. The Messiah has to be much ingrained into it. It's a line which is a guiding line. I'm not sure about that. It could be any line. Oh, right. It looks like you put a coloured line or something on top of a Korah in order to be able to cut it straight. All these things are a problem with it. So, what do you use? A colouring agent? No colouring agent? As long as you make some line there in order for a guiding way, that is also to do. That's the Issa Masaltit. As you say, it was done in the Mishkan. The lines were traced on the hides of the rams and tchoshim so they could be cut precisely in the right size. You have to know exactly how to cut. That's what they did it for. That's how they did it.
They actually did it with what? What did you land with what? With a pen?
You could have done it with a knife. I don't know how you did it. I'm not sure about a pen. I'm sure a pen's the same. Sorry, it could be a shallow. I'm not even sure. It could be. I'm not 100% sure about it. It could be. If you make a straight line with it, you want to take a pencil line and you make a line on a piece of paper. You want to cut it. You want to cut that piece of paper exactly. So you put the line on that paper in order to cut later. That could have been it. I don't think
it was
salted.
Was it a line? That's what we draw.
It's not coastal. The letter has to be something symbolic. This is not symbolic. There's nothing over here. Yeah, 100%. That's Mamish, the classic case. The sofa who makes a line in this cloth before when he wants to write the Oishas says he needs that as a guiding line. I'm just not sure if the line has to be ingrained into the thing. I don't think it does. I think as long as it's a line on a piece of paper.
Make a mark.
Yeah, a mark, but you know now how to write straightly. You want to write exactly in a certain way. That lechora is a problem without it. Any lines on an object in order to insist in doing something, to help one write, to cut, to tear, or to sew, all that is included in the Issa Masaltit. To make a plumb line against a beam or a sheet of wood in order to help cut it, also not allowed. Right, when writing a Sefer Torah Mezuzah, all these lines required may not be done on Shabbos. Fold a piece of paper and crease it and press it in a sharp crease so that paper can be torn neatly is not allowed. So much like that. It's interesting. If the person takes a piece of paper, he wants to cut it, so he folds it and makes it a thicker piece of paper.
It's not like it.
Oh, we'll come to that. So the master does this over here, okay. And he bends it over. Yeah, we'll come to all that. He bends it over a few times to make a nice neat line He's made a line all that in order to help him be able to cut it. That lechora is the Issa of Masaltit.
Creating anything new, just fold it in paper.
Yeah, but you're doing it. You're making a line in order to help you as a guiding line. That's the criteria of Masaltit. A person makes a line for guidance. That is mamish the criteria. He's made a line to guide him to do something, either to cut it or to write on it. That is the Issa of Masaltit. Yeah, an interesting thing. Let's just speak about Issa Deraisa first of all. So that is the Issa in our Torah of these lines. You can do Masaltit with a keli, the ruler, it can be done by hand. You bend it over, you make it like this with a paper over here. This is also, I'm not using a keli at all, no ruler, but I'm doing it in a nice way to make it nice and even. That's also an Issa of Masaltit. Applies to wood, metal, plastic, paper cloth, hard material, soft materials, no chilek, where you're making the line, where you're making the indentation, all that is problematic. Shaila is, what happens if you want to cut a piece of cake? So you've got a big problem in the family, everyone wants an equal size of cake. So you want to, okay, so let's not talk about medida, you can't do it with a ruler, let's say, but a person, more or less, he makes the lines on the cake in order to get it a nice cut with a knife. Is that Issa of Masaltit?
He cuts it like that in 8 pieces.
That's it.
Like a pizza.
You do a pizza, that's right, a pizza, yeah. I'm not sure who's having pizza on Shabbos, but let's say Shavuos maybe, Shavuos night. So you want to have a pizza, Elamaisa, what do you want to do? You want to cut it in a nice way. You want to make lines, straightforward lines on the thing there, in order to make it that, what do you call it? That you've got, you can cut it, that'll cut nicely. Oh, so Shai doesn't apply to food. So my consensus of posthum is that there's no Issa of Masaltit on food. The Issa of Masaltit is preparing for something else. Preparing for Kosev, preparing for Machateich, preparing for something. Just on a food itself, the posthum seems to take on, there's no Issa of Masaltit at all. That's many posthums say, it's just like Ein Ibud Ba'Oichlin, just like you say in Minat Torah, there's no Issa of Ibud on the food. So Hu Adin, this Menoch as well, they go together, Machateich and these three Menochas, Ibud, Masaltit and Mamachik, the posthum seems to take them as a group together, and that does not apply to food items. So a person wants to cut out, wants to measure out on the food properly, no problem. That's why in the Maaser we make an indentation on our Chal the Moshe, yeah? When we make Lecha Mishnah, what we do normally is we can make a slight cut at the beginning on the challah, and then later you cut it properly. That line is a guiding line, really. It's really meant. You don't really, but that's what it's meant for, really. It's meant to be. That line is meant to be cut on that line. What? You do it at the same time. That's the whole idea. Yeah, I know. A lot of people make the cut somewhere else. That's not really the idea. The idea is to where that line is to cut. You're meant to save yourself a bit of time after Hamayis to make it as quick as possible. So during the week, you can cut deeper. Yeah, we have to make a line that's visible. That's true. You have to make a line that's visible. But that there's no issa of machatik, there's no issa of masautate on food items, just like Ein Ibn Boichlin, the possum seems to say, just like we say, Ein Ibn Boichlin is only shaykh on Eurus, a ton of which is Makayim for a long time, not on food. Who had in the possum want to say there's no machik, and there's also lechayim, no siltut on food. And therefore, making lines on your food is no problem at all. Yeah? So anyone who wants to cut up equally, there's no problem at all in that way. There's no issa, mitzad, that's problem. So one reason why there's no issa is because aim masata boikin, that's number one. And the second one is also, that I said to you as well, the other reason is that masata has to be hachonah or something else. It's a preparation. The issa minatur masata is you're preparing to do something later, which is a malacha. That means in the base of mikdash, they made a line on the skin, so later they'll cut it. They'll be correct. They'll make it a nice, they'll cut it in a nice way. That is the issa. Who are doing a person wants to do toifah, he wants to sew, he wants to know, he wants to get a nice guiding line to get it straight on the material. So it was done as a preparation for a malacha. If a person's not doing malacha afterwards, there's no malacha afterwards, there's no issa of masatit.
Well, okay? Yes, because in the cave, you did say it's a
guiding line. There's no malacha. There's no malacha in the cave. When you cut the cave, there's no malacha involved. So nicely, there's no issa. Even if shai is, there's no issa because it's eva satit. But you can just like by, and it's only on top of mishkayim, it only has to be a leather or something like that. So that's number one. Or the vo is because it has to be a chonah for the malacha. And here you haven't got that at all. Okay. What about, now you're all asking over here, let's say bending pages, for example.
Well, it's not.
Oh, so the shy is that this is a drabon? Marshall, let's say a person's got a safer over here, he wants to put a mark in the safer, so he wants to put a fold in the paper. Is it on the most of the places? Is that also a drabon?
Could be.
So this is an interesting halacha over here. To bend down the corner of a page, that's not doing anything really. That bending over is not a guideline. It's not guiding in that page. It's just you're pushing. It's supposed not to put a bookmark in the page on Shabbos. Really, that bending over the page, the whole idea of that bending is really the whole tachlis of it is just to show you where you're up to. So it's like I put a bookmark in a paper. I put a bookmark in order to know where I'm up to. Is there any issa at all?
No.
What happened to Achona? I'm going to read the book now tomorrow on Sunday. I'm not going to. I know I'm not. Is there an issa Achona?
No, I mean, now I want to.
I don't need it now. I need it for when I open my book on Sunday, I want to know where I'm up to.
I want to read it now.
Well, why don't you know?
I don't know.
First one, I don't mean now. I don't need to come up to. I'm finished. I'm up to here. I'm finished to see it now. Wow, I don't need now. I'm finished. I'm closing the safe room.
And if you can't talk in the safe on Sunday, you're going to stand there on Monday.
Okay, it's also
so it's not an achon.
Wow.
Then that's the right that he's not thinking when he's going to do it.
He's doing another time, not even now. He's doing it for a later time. He's been making the safer that when I do it, when I use the safer in a later time. If you use it, hopefully we'll be learning that same before Shabbos. Hopefully we open the same before Shabbos. The Maaser is no achon. There's no issa achon. Achon, preventative in achon, is not called achon. A preventative thing to prevent you from losing something, to forget where you're up to, that's not called achonah. Achonah is a positive thing. A person does something positive. And what she wants to gain something, what she wants to repair his clothes, the moshe on Shabbos, that on Sunday morning he doesn't have to go into the wardrobe to get them out. That is a positive thing. Preventative is not achonah. So this over here, to stop you losing a plate, that's why all the things, putting back, that's another reason really, but putting things back in the fridge, is you're preventing it going bad. You want to stop it going bad. Okay, there's another heter as well. There's a normal place where it belongs to. It's a normal thing. One doesn't associate it at all as preparing. That's its normal place where it belongs to. But kids, to put to bend the page over like this, just so that you know where you're up to, is not an issue of a chum. That's a miser. That's a problem, miser. You're doing it to save yourself time. That's because now you're doing to save yourself time. You want to take it out on Shabbos. That's to make sure I don't lose my place. I've got a problem. If I don't have my place now, I'm going to lose it. That's preventative. I want to prevent myself from losing where I'm up to now. Taking the suits out now is not a preventative thing. It's to save me time up to tonight, wherever. I don't have to go and take it out. That's positive. That's not preventative. What can be a problem, though, is like this. So to bending down this over here, to bend down a thing in a sefer, that's not a problem of a masoutet, and it's not a problem of hafana at all either. Yeah, it's no problem either one of those things. However, the moshe, I'll tell you what can happen. The moshe, let's say someone reads something in the sefer. You see, that's a good shticker, you see. Right? I must remember that. He takes his nail and he makes a line across it in order to remember where it is. Now that is a guideline. He's doing that to guide him where he's up to. He wants to remember this place where it's up to. It's not an atorah because it's not a permanent thing. What? But he's doing it. He takes a nail. He does it with his nail. He makes a mark. He wants to do it with a mark over there. The wash over here. A meaningful line to serve as an indicator about an important piece. You want to know this piece. I must remember. So he makes an indentation on there. He makes a line on there, even though it's not permanent.
Exactly. If he does it because he wants to remember where it's up, he could do it. But if he's doing it because he wants to find that
shape later. Okay, I'll tell you what a friend of my friend. One's a guideline, one's not a guideline. Because they're using it as a guideline. When he makes a mark on that piece of writing where he's up to, he's doing it as a guideline. He's doing it maybe for what he wants.
Bend the page onto the line you're up to.
Well, specifically for that reason, you want to know where you're up to exactly. That's how it works. Yeah, because you're doing it as a guideline. You're doing it now to know where you're up to. If you bend it on a page, you know, you just want there's a bookmark there. That's right. If you want that line where you're up to, you want to know where you're up to on that line, that could be worse.
He
wants to know where which line is up to. He's asking, why would you do it? Because you want to remember that piece. You want to start chapter 5. I'm not sure. I have to think about it. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. The Maisa, bending over stomachly, take a serviette for example, to bend the serviette, that's nothing to do with, it's not a guideline, that's nothing to do with the Celtics. What could be a problem? What could be a problem with bending a serviette? What is the problem with bending a serviette? It's not the Celtics. What could be a problem? Not always. What could be a problem? If you're making a meaningful shape, the Moshe person makes a flower, he makes a ship, or he does something which is very meaningful. I'm not very hard. What about someone makes a meaningful shape? A person makes a meaningful shape on a serviette, then he could have a problem of kosher. None of them are it. If it's just a simple form, he's just folding over something, he's not doing anything fancy, he's just making a simple folding over, that is none of them are sour, none of them kosher, that's mutter. So it's only problematic with some kosher, not the saltate. It's only a problem when a person makes a meaningful shape, that's the block of kosher. All right, both say.
What? It's a bit of a pear shape, yeah, sure. The camera like that, and then four columns.